Hey folks, welcome back to The Main Scoop. We're here for episode 7, and we're going to be talking about how compliance and sustainability impact brand value and technology. Now, we know there's a lot of things that make brands valuable. We've got Rebecca Levesque as our guest today, but I'm going to start off by talking a little bit with Dan. Dan, what's your perspective? What are the things that make brands valuable?
Well, Greg, it's always great to be back. You know, brands gain value from a lot of different things. There's very structural things that create value in brands. The financials and the metrics and the customer counts and the value of the services they deliver. And then there's more ephemeral things that make brands valuable. It's the way brands make people feel. We all know that those reference brands that we all like to call out, a lot of times you're like, well, why is product A better than B? And people are like, I don't know. I just like to use it. Or why am I stuck using one type of mobile device versus another? Because my kids only believe in one type of text messaging. Or why do you buy coffee at that particular shop versus another that actually does hand drip versus this other place that I'm pretty sure serves it out of a microwave? But in the end, the brand is created because of the way it makes us feel. And then, of course, the way it makes us feel drives more, greater customer investment. Customers spend more money, then they can pour more money back into it. But it can be the tech, it can be the product, it can be the service. But in the end, it's going to be those two things, Greg. It's the structure of the business. And then, of course, it's that softer side of brands that people love, that are in people's hearts, always perform.
Well, you know, I think about it. And of course, it's the value that it brings and how you feel about it, how you think about it. But there's that other element about the expectation, the consistency that, you know, you think about when you go out to a restaurant, why do you go back? You go back because you liked the food or you liked the service. And the things that kill a brand is if they don't live up to the expectation that they've already set, right? If you go back to that restaurant and all of a sudden the service wanes or the food's not as good, you know, maybe they changed out the chef or they couldn't get the ingredients. I think that's why we attract ourselves to brands. It's that consistency, that repeatability, that either meeting or raising the expectations and the experience every time.
And by the way, Greg, just as a note, consistency can mark a scalability that allow businesses to become big. You know, I mentioned, you know, certain burger joints, incredible consistency. No matter where you eat the fries, anywhere in the world, they taste the same.
Yep.
But it doesn't always act as a mark of quality. And we know that. So, you know, obviously putting together both consistency and quality is probably the ultimate outcome. And I can think of a very small number of brands that have incredible market cap because they found a way to do those two things in the eyes of the customer. So Greg, that brings a whole nother question. We're in a massive shift from one generation to the next. We've got a younger group entering the workforce. We've got social, we've got digital, we've got new mechanisms for reaching and engaging with customers. How does this shift the way we conduct business and the way we think about creating a brand and creating value for our brands into the future?
Yeah, I think it's also about the greater awareness in the world and access to information. It used to be that we'd focus on the product or how we interacted or just the result, but there's this raised awareness of what's going on in the world and an urgency and to want to understand how people are conducting their business, you know, how they're interacting with people in the world, with governments in the world, you know, how they're interacting with the environment and what that means for long-term sustainability.
Yeah, I think you make a lot of great points there. You know, having children, and by the way, I have them spanned over almost 20 years now, my oldest being 21 and my youngest being 6. And even just seeing the difference from how they're going to be interacting with technology, how they are building relationships with brands. I mean, it's going to continue to change. And it's going to become incredibly important that we make sure across a plethora of different digital platforms that we understand our customer, we understand our constituency, and we understand how to make them meaningfully want to do business with us, or else the lifespan of companies, and we've seen the Fortune 500 change over years, that lifespan will continue to get shorter and shorter for what are the most influential companies. And I'll make a call right here, Greg, before we bring in our guest. Some point in the next like 10 years, there will be a giant, an absolute giant that will fall because of the way disruption will come in and takes a company that we would think is invaluable and then will become invaluable.
Let's bring Rebecca Levesque in. She's from 21st Century Software. You've kind of heard what we've been talking about. We'll
Yeah.
open it up to you to comment on that if you'd like to start that
Oh,
way.
I would love to. It's so important. And I can't agree more. I mean, if you think about it, the younger generation, they're so much more concerned about sustainability. And if we don't address that within our world that we live in, it's an important piece, right? Some of the data centers, they say that the data centers in the world can use up to the emissions of 26 million homes. So that is something that the younger generation knows. They know those numbers, they know those stats, and they're very concerned about that. And they'll do business. They'll really make financial and buying decisions based upon the ethos of a company, not always what their product is. Not always do they like the product. In fact, they'll stay away from a product they like if it doesn't fit what they feel is part of their own personal moral compass, which is around a lot of times sustainability right now, because they're very worried about what their future will be. So
yeah, I mean,
it's a very important subject.
You use the term kind of around their moral compass. It's about how folks feel companies should be interacting responsibly in the world, and then the consumers interacting with them will reward the appropriate behavior, and they'll stay away from products if they don't see them being responsible corporate citizens.
No, that's exactly right. And it's part of what they've become. It's part of who they are. And I think that's really important for us to take into consideration. And then we talked earlier about, and you brought up the point that companies need to be aware of how they're dealing with their teams internally. How are they promoting their own organizational team members? How are they working within their organizations? How are they seen by the world at large? Visual is so important. The internet has made everyone subject to scrutiny. Your world can change with one good or bad blog, right? And so much of what we do is based upon very finite pieces and finite pieces of what companies may or may not do. That's right. You know, you talk about resiliency, one bad event. You talk about compliance, not making sure you're compliant to the nth degree that you should. If you can't prove you've done everything you could, if something happens, people are going to call you accountable for it. So it's really important that we really think differently about the pieces that we used to think were either insurance or nice to haves. They've become more, you need to be doing them.
So let me ask you a question. You kind of weighed in a little bit and you mentioned sustainability. You know, the whole theme of the show, we're talking compliance, sustainability, the business impact here. The last couple of years have been really interesting though, Rebecca. On a macro level, the technology industry absolutely swelled. It boomed over the last couple of years, and things like ESG, sustainability, DEI, compliance investments, and kind of trying to be better companies. You talked about moral compass. It all came to the surface. Companies were spending big. They were putting out new ESG and sustainability reports every year. They were making that part of their marketing story. They were selling it as part of their hiring story. And, you know, now we're in kind of a slowing period, possible recessionary period. And suddenly you hear things. I read an article in, I think, WatchPo yesterday about DEI programs being cut. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you hear less about sustainability. Kind of, what's your take? Posturing versus progress? I mean, is this something that's going to sustain, or is this only something companies are going to do when the tailwinds are behind them and it's easy?
We're going to have to see that. If you think about it, the EU is putting some teeth behind it. They're trying, you know, the EU is always very good about regulating things. Right. So they've regulated some resiliency right now with DORA. They've put some regulation in place for sustainability. So if those teeth come to bear, then yes, and then they'll push it forward. If you think about it, I was reading something, I forget where it was. It could have been Forbes. It was 85% of organizations speak to having something that they are driving from a sustainability. But then the percentage, I think it was like within the 20s, 30s, was companies that actually had real plans or were really doing it. So there is a difference between the conversation and the reality. And so we're going to have to see whether or not it's generally driven by regulations and have to's. It's generally not done when economic times are down if it's just a nice to. They're not going to always consider it. So it's going to have to really either come out of their pocketbooks from the consumer, or they're going to be forced to through regulations. It's going to be one or the other, in my opinion.
And Dan, you know, actions speak louder than words. I agree with you, whether it be, you know, around sustainability, ESG, DEI. A lot of companies were talking about it, and it was an imperative to have a statement about it, a position. It's the actions that matter, and you can see those that, you know, whether it be supporting their employees and how they're interacting with them, making opportunities available, what they're doing in the marketplace broader than just their own customer set, their own employees or their own customers. Those are the things that I think will stick.
And if I can add, though, I think this is a moment for IT and technology, because measurability and accountability have to come with data. And so when you look at these different net zero announcements and, you know, hey, Greg, the Newman family is going to be net zero by 2070. So I just gave you a 48-year commitment that I'm going to, you know, be net zero. Imagine if, like, your company said, well, we're going to be X revenue by 2040, but you don't actually give guidance or even report your numbers for the next 18 years. Like, people will be like, whatever.
There's got to be a path. Real. There's got to be progress. And you know, you touched on the point about how important IT will be across all of this. It doesn't matter what industry you're talking about, you know, farming, agriculture, fashion, shipping, whatever. IT is the one common thread through all the industries and all the interactions of the world.
And what's truly important is we also have to recognize, because we are core across all across all industries, everybody uses technology to some level to run their business. Mm-hmm. And because of what they're calling now these shortfalls in employment opportunities, right? There's 3.4 million people shortfall for cyber resiliency. That's just one area that I happen to have a number on. So if we have shortfall in the ability and people to fill the areas that we need, then we have to really be considering, what is our business going to do in order to draw the quality of people in that we need in order for us to be able to sustain our businesses? So sustainability is not only sustainability in the truest sense, sustainability is really important as organizations, because we need to sustain ourselves with employees that are willing to work in our industries. And so many times I hear within our platform, well, legacy. I'm sorry, everyone's legacy practically at this point, right? So it's across everyone. And in order for us to really have an active role in making sure the future of all of that's happening in all industries is really key on us as software, as IT in general, to be able to say, hey, we're in the forefront of pushing these agendas and making sure that we're doing the right things.
And I also like that you're kind of looking at this very holistically. I think another thing, by the way, that's going to come to bear, maybe this was part of the World Economic Forum conversations that were going on over the last, you know, few weeks. You know, we've talked about sustainability. We talked about compliance. Another area that I think is going to be so important for IT in the coming years is going to be security, cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is where the type of technology, the kind of modernization approaches we take are going to be uber critical. Because we all know that, you know, and by the way, cybersecurity does not care about the macroeconomic conditions. Sure, your modernization strategies may have to be slowed, but what's the risk of getting that wrong? And what's the risk, by the way, right now? I mean, we've seen the way the CHIPS Act moved forward. It was a national security thing. It wasn't resiliency, which brings me a good question here for you, Rebecca. How does this pivot to that CIOs and the enterprises? So we've kind of looked at the macro of how it's overall in the economy, but CIOs, are they prepared for sustainability? Are they prepared to deal with compliance? Are they handling cybersecurity and the risk?
There's still this thought that that somehow this isn't going to happen to them, unfortunately. There's still that segment of society that has that belief that, yeah, that's their problem. And we're not, they still may see it as insurance when it comes to resiliency and other areas of the business. It's really been interesting. I've been doing that piece of the business for some time. And there's two major problems. One is takes the entire organization to take it in seriously. Whether you're talking about compliance, sustainability, resiliency, all of these mean that it's a top down and they have to be taken seriously from the top. But we need to look at it differently. I was reading an article recently that said that we have to incorporate that into our daily thinking. It can't be a side subject, and it really needs to, risk and resiliency and compliance and sustainability just needs to be part of the conversation, part of how we develop and how we modernize and how we do all that we do. It just needs to be a part of it.
There's also that challenge that there's too many CIOs in the world that think it's about chasing a particular technology. And they don't realize that it's not only a project in and of itself, but as Rebecca said, it's got to be pervasive across all projects. It's got to be part of the ongoing process. It's not a state that you're going to get to. It has to be part in the thinking of every project you do and everything that you roll out.
And it's interesting, the DORA Act in Europe just said that. And in fact, they want you to go so far in Article 11 as to prove it through testing, periodic testing, right? So it is becoming more and more important. It needs to be incorporated in the day-to-day thinking. When we're modernizing, when we're doing whatever it is that we want to do for our businesses to improve, part of that whole thought process needs to incorporate those areas that we're talking about.
You know, I just want to double click on something you said there, you know, Greg, when you said about a certain type of technology, all I can think about is these board mandates to move to the cloud. And then we're going to move everything to the cloud. And I mean, what an absolute ridiculous, embarrassing set of mandates to come down from such overqualified human beings that really could have quickly assessed, Greg, and known, like, that is not, there's economic reasons it is not the right
Well, and it's
strategy.
not the first time, right, Dan? I mean, the reality is there were moves to client server, or there were moves to everything was going to be done on a PC on the desk, and then, you know, now it's cloud. It's people chasing technology for a buzzword versus a capability. There's some fabulous things about a cloud environment, which, you know, when deployed and used correctly, that's great, but it doesn't mean that every workload should be there. And it also doesn't mean if you go to cloud that you automatically get all these other things without investment.
Exactly.
You don't get the sustainability, the resiliency, the security, whatever, unless you make those investments in that cloud environment with the right workload.
And you make sure it's part of the document of the writing. What happens a lot of times when customers go to the cloud, they ignore their responsibility around their backups, around their ability to be able to recover, the
They
risks that are
abdicate.
associated.
They
They just let
abdicate.
it go. They go,
And they
they
assume
obfuscate it
somebody
all.
else is handling it. And it's
Exactly. And
not always the case, depending on the
no.
contract.
And even if it's in the contract, it's still your company's data. So are you so willing to just hand over responsibility? Because at the end of the day, is the customer that you end up leaking the data, or the customer that ends up not being able to have access to something they want access to, are they going to look to the provider, or are they going to look to you, the customer? And is it your reputation? Yes, the provider will take a ding, but it's your reputation, your business that will have the financial impact.
So, I mean, in fairness, let's compare and contrast, right? We can talk about what this is like in a mainframe world. And, you know, you'll hear people say, you know, the mainframe is the most secure, resilient platform on the planet. It isn't if you don't implement the technologies. You don't get it for free or for not putting in the effort. The reality is, you know, the mainframe has been doing things like zero trust for decades. And, you know, the idea that you don't trust anybody or give anybody access unless they have the need to get it. But you have to take the technologies, you have to take the capabilities and implement them in your environment to get to that state. You know, we talk broadly about sustainability, and Rebecca started talking about skills. You know, obviously, we have a longer term experience with sustainability when you have a technology that's been around for 50, 60 years. You have to keep training the next generation, and the next generation brings their intelligence, their insight, their knowledge to the platform, and it continues to expand, it grows, it gets more and more hardened, resilient, and stable. So it's really cool the types of things that you see going on. But just like we talked about CIOs not necessarily being prepared, it doesn't mean they're more prepared in the mainframe world versus cloud or distributed. They actually have to be aware, they have to know about the technologies and the capabilities, and then implement them and feed and care for them on an ongoing basis.
It's the same as any other platform. If you are told by the win by Microsoft that you have to apply a patch,
And you
you need to
don't.
apply the patch, and you don't, you didn't. If you're running older technology, if you're not staying modern, if you're not bringing yourself to the most current, if you allow time to lapse between releases and upgrades and you just let it hang,
Or
then
even
you're
don't
not.
proactively take advantage of the latest capability, the feature function, and what you can do in that space, then you atrophy.
And you don't need to come off a particular platform to improve. If you think about it, I was reading this thing by Bloor, the journey matters. So if where you're going to isn't stronger, it isn't faster, better, or smarter than where you're at the right level, if you've absolutely brought yourself to where you should be within the technology of the platform and within all of the differentiator that your platform has, and then changing makes sense. Fine. But if you haven't gotten where you should be within where you're at, and you haven't taken into consideration all the expense with people, internals, customers being affected by the journey, then that also can affect you. And you need to do that.
So let's summarize. Let's kind of wrap this up. It's been a pleasure having you on, Rebecca. You know,
Thank you. It's been
we've
a
covered a
pleasure.
lot of ground. You know, you think about it, there were some really good pearls in there, Dan, too. You know, the future is always built upon the past. You're going somewhere in a direction where you're improving, but you're keeping the things that really provided value as a foundation going forward. And we talked about sustainability, we talked about resiliency, we talked about, you know, does that drive value for a brand or what is the important thing? The difference between a lasting brand and a flash in the pan is just that: sustainability, repeatability, security, resiliency, being able to come back and have an expectation about the experience, knowing that you can trust it, knowing that it'll be consistent, knowing that it'll be secure. So absolutely, I believe sustainability, you know, compliance, all this impact the value of a brand greatly and make the difference between a flash in the pan, somebody who's in the Fortune 500 for years or a decade, or does it over enduring value. So I think we've proven the point here. There is absolute value to it and it is important and core to brands and technology.
I think that's a really great way to wrap it up, Greg. You know, the main scoop, you know, we like to tie the macros to the micros. We like to tie the, you know, the entire sort of continuum of technology from the tech that's been powering businesses, you know, for what seems like centuries, you know, in the spirit of 21st century, all the way into the future and the new you know, foundational tech that's going to change the world. And it's all really exciting. And look, you know, compliance, sustainability, security, these are not going to go away anytime soon. So what I would say is companies need to be building with both that resiliency and that sustainability in mind, but they also need to constantly be testing and looking to how new technologies can shift and make their businesses better and more, you know, fundamentally capable of surviving the winds of change, Greg, that are coming forever. So, man, what a scoop. What a scoop.
That's the main scoop. Thanks again, Rebecca. Thanks,
You're
Dan.
welcome.
I'm Greg. Thank you all for joining us on this episode of The Main Scoop, and we look forward to seeing you next time.